the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Now, I know I've told you guys this before like 100 times, but really, 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 if you haven't heard me say this is one of my favorite gospels of all time, this really is one of my favorites. And it's to your advantage, it's to your advantage that the story that we just read, 5 loaves and the 2 fish, it's to your advantage that you really like this gospel as well. And do you know why it's to your advantage? Because we hear it so often in the church, all right? So it's to your advantage to really, really like it as well. And for those of you who have a good memory, when did we hear this exact same gospel reading last? 2 weeks ago, very good. 2 weeks ago we heard it, and we'll probably hear it again in a couple more weeks, and probably again by the end of the year. And if you pray your Egbeia, and you pray the 9th hour of the Egbeia, you hear the same gospel every single day at the 9th hour. So it's to your benefit to really, really like this story as well. What I like about this story so much is that I feel like it really speaks to one of something that is inside every single one of us, in a situation that every single one of us would go through. This story really, really, really speaks to it. And in order to understand it, let's try to understand like the context of the story, okay? I think there's a little technical difficulties, but I'll read here from the gospel account that you just read, okay? So we get the context of the story. First of all, the story takes place. What's unique about this gospel is it takes place, the story of it is written in all 4 of the gospels. Okay, it's the only, there it is, very good. It's the only of the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ, other than the resurrection, that's written about in all 4 gospels. And what's cool about it is when you add up all the different accounts of it, you can get a complete picture. And today we read from the gospel according to St. John chapter 6, which gives us, in my personal opinion, the best of the accounts, because it really gives you a human personal touch on it in a very, very, very nice and sweet way. Okay, so again, the context. John chapter 6. What happens is, just before the disciples are here with Jesus, if you remember from the Luke chapter 9 account that we read in the Egbeia, it says, how does the gospel start? It says, when the apostles returned, they reported Jesus what they had done. Okay, and then this miracle happens. So this miracle happens after the apostles returned. Returned from where? Returned from their first mission trip. Okay, Jesus sent them out, and he sent them out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. So he sent them out to go do this great mission, and they came back so excited, but surely they also came back tired and exhausted. That's why they came back, and after you've had a long day at work, after you've had a long business trip, you just want to go and relax. And they were excited to spend some time with the Lord and tell him all the great things and the demons that were cast out and all the great miracles they had done. They were excited. So what Jesus did, he said, okay, you know what? Forget about the crowds. Let's go up on top of this mountain. And they went up on top of that mountain, but there was a problem. The people followed them up to the top of the mountain. And now all these people had gathered to them outside the mountain. And then Jesus says something, the first verse in the gospel here today. And I want you to see what our Lord Jesus Christ says to the apostles. And every now and then, Jesus just says stuff like this. Look what he says in verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Why you ask that question? Why did Jesus ask that question? What are you thinking if you're the disciples, Jesus asking this question? Jesus oftentimes did stuff like this. Like he would say something to them, it doesn't make any sense. Why you say stuff like this? Like he would say like, first or last and last or first. Or he would say things like, to live you have to die, and if you die, you'll live. He said things like this often to them. And now he comes to them, they're tired, they've been on a long trip. He sees all these people and he says to him, it's like I come here to this, so, how do you think we're going to feed them? Where are you guys going to get enough bread? What do you mean us guys get enough bread? What are you talking about us guys get enough bread? You know we can't feed these people. Why are you asking us this kind of question? And he puts this in their head like, 2 people respond to his question. Who are the 2 people? Philip is number 1. Who's the second? Andrew, or Andreas, better good. Okay. Philip responds first. And Philip says what every one of me and you is thinking. Philip says what every one of me and you is thinking. Philip says to him, Lord, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may have a little. And I think Philip says it with a little bit of a, so why are you even asking? He's like, Lord, even if we had money, which we don't because we left our jobs to follow you, even if we had money, 200 denarii, which is a lot of money, isn't enough. So why are you asking funny questions? This is what me and you would respond. What does Andrew say? Andrew, in my opinion, is the hero of the story. Andrew is the hero of the story. Listen to what Andrew says. And again, think about why you say stuff like this. Next verse. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Why Andrew said that? Why Andrew said that? How are we going to feed these 5,000 people? Well, this boy has 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. Why are you saying that? I come to you. Let's say I come to you. And I say I had like a disaster in my house and like my basement flooded and the carpet and it's going to cost like $5,000, $6,000, like $10,000 to repair. And you say, well, I have 5 nickels and 2 quarters. Why you say that? Why you would say something like that? Either one of 2 options. Actually, one of 3 options. Either Andrew's crazy, okay? That could be option number 1, which I don't think is the case. Either he believes, again, if you told me I got 5 nickels, 2 quarters, and I'm telling you I need $10,000, either you believe that these 5 nickels and 2 quarters have magical powers in them and have magical ability, or you believe that when you offer to me those 5 nickels and 2 quarters, there's a great power and a miraculous power behind it. Either Andrew said to himself, these are the most magical pieces of fish known to man, or Andrew said, hey, I know it's not enough, and I know it's not sufficient, and I know it's not adequate, but let me give it a try and stick it in the hands of God, and let's see what God does. So that's what I'm saying. Andrew was the hero here today. Andrew realized that when you put your limited resources, even no matter how limited they are, into the hands of an unlimited God, you're going to see some stuff happen. You're going to see some stuff happen. The difference between Andrew and Philip, the difference between us, okay, and what Andrew was, is Philip, like many of us, was focused on what I lack and what I don't have. God, you know me. You know me. I'm Philip, like you know me. I would love to feed all these people. You know me. I have a heart for them, but I don't have the bread. I don't have the money. Philip focused on what he didn't have. Andrew focused on what he had. And he knew that if he focused on what he had and he put it in the hands of God, that it doesn't matter what he was lacking. It doesn't matter what he was lacking. If he focused on what he had, he put it in the hands of God, miracles are going to happen. That's why I think this story, this is not a story of faith. This miracle has nothing to do with faith. Faith is not the difference between Philip and Andrew. You think Philip didn't believe that Christ could feed all those people? You think any of the disciples didn't believe that if God, like they were just around doing miracles in his name. They studied the Old Testament, you know, manna comes from heaven. You think any of them didn't believe that God had the power and the ability? They all believed, but what was the difference was that Andrew believed not just in the power of God, but believed in the power of me offering whatever little I had and putting it in God's hands, and he knew there's power in that. Not just there's power in God's hands, but there's power when I offer to God the little bit that I have. I know that sounds confusing. Let me break it down here for you like this. I like math. I like math because it's visual, it's straightforward, it's logical. There's right answers and wrong answers, okay? So let's do a little mathematics here, but we're going to do God's kind of mathematics. God is going to give us a lesson. There's 2 kinds of math that we like, and there's 1 kind of math that God likes in the middle. The first kind of math that we like is 1 + 1 = 2. That was Philip. Philip was, okay, God, 1 + 1 = 2. So therefore, I'm willing to do my part, but I need the resources to do it. So if you expect me to feed
5,000? You better give me 5,000 pieces of bread. Easy, straightforward. I got 5 pieces of bread, I got 2 fish, I can feed 5-6 people. 1 + 1 = 2. And that's the way oftentimes we operate. God, these are my resources, okay, this is what I'll give you. Easy, 1 + 1 = 2. And then sometimes we swing to the other side. And we say, 0 + infinity = infinity. Which is, God, I can do nothing. And God, I'm worthless. And God, I'm zero. You do the miracle. Go ahead, make the manna come from heaven. Go ahead, you feed them. You're God, I'm nothing. You do everything. God doesn't like either of those two kind of math. You know the kind of math that God likes? God likes 5 + 2 = 5,000. That's the kind of math God likes. 5 + 2 = 5,000. Easy, God can do everything by himself. But God doesn't like it that way. God likes it that we take our limited resources, we put it in the pie, and we watch God make something great out of it. That's why if you were paying attention today, the Pauline epistle was from Hebrews chapter 7. It was talking about Abraham when he met Melchizedek, and it kept talking about how he tithed to him, and why he tithed, and why he tithed, and he tithed. Giving, either tithing or giving to charity, is a perfect example of this principle. You see a homeless guy, or you hear about an organization that helps the homeless. What can I do? I can't solve all the problems of the homeless. I know you can't solve all the problems of the homeless, but you can give the 5 loaves and 2 fish in your pocket, and you can give that, and watch God maybe work a miracle through that. I can't solve the loans and the debts that the church has. I know you can't, but you got 5 loaves and 2 fish in your pocket. You put it in there, and you let God work the rest. My coworker at work, and he's, you know, interested in God, but I don't know everything about Christianity. You don't even know everything about Christianity. Do you know a little bit? Give what you little bit you have, and put that in the pocket, and put that in the bucket, and watch God work. Anytime we face a problem, or we face a challenge, or we face an obstacle, the tendency is to fall to one of these two extremes. I got these resources, I can accomplish this much. No. Other tendency is to say, I can't do anything. Okay, God, you solve the problem when you want. I tried my best. I can't solve this problem. You solve it when you want. No. What God likes is when I give what little I have, I put it in his hands, then I watch him do miracles after that. The psalm for today is a very nice psalm from Psalm 96, which, depending on your translation, the one that was read in the reading book here used the word bring. The one from the New King James used the word give. And other translation used the word offer. It means the same thing. It says, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. I like the translation that says offer myself. Offer to the Lord, O families of nations. Offer to the Lord glory and strength. Offer to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. God just wants you to offer what you got. And don't worry if it's not enough. God just wants you to offer what you got. Don't worry if it's not enough. I can't pray all day. Don't worry. Pray as much as you can. Offer what you got. Give it to God. I can't fast like the monks fast and all these people fast. Don't worry. Offer what you got. Give it to God. Let him do his stuff. I can't solve this problem. I can't be the husband. I can't be the wife. I can't solve these problems. Look, man, offer what you got. Put it in the hands of God and watch him work. There is something sacramental about when we offer limited resources to God and he makes big things happen from it. Isn't that what happens every time we gather for the liturgy? Isn't that what happens? What happens when we gather here for the liturgy? Do we do some hocus pocus and all of a sudden God appears? No, what happens is we offer bread, we offer wine, God makes a body and blood. The bread and the wine can never equal the body and the blood, but by the same token, if we didn't offer the bread and the wine, we'd never have the body and the blood. So we offer the little bit. That's what all the sacraments are. That's what I'm saying is when you learn this principle in life, that you offer the little bit resource that you have, your life becomes sacramental. And you may not be able to accomplish everything. You may not be able to solve everything. But when you give what you got and you put it in the hands of God, you just watch and see what the Lord is going to do in your life. So the question I leave you with today is, what will you offer the Lord? What will you offer? You have something that he wants. You have something that he wants. There's something that God has given to you that he wants you to offer to him. If you're like Philip, you focus on what I don't have. Well, God, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this. If you're like Andrew, you focus on what I do have, and you focus on how I can give that to God. Don't make the mistake of waiting until you have enough to offer to God. It's a mistake we make, that we wait until we have enough in order to offer to God. What would have happened if the disciples said, you know what? We really care about these hungry people, and we want to feed them. We need to start saving up money and bread and go search all over town for money and for bread and all this kind of stuff. What would have happened? They'd have missed out on a great miracle. Don't wait until you have enough to bring an offering to the Lord. Now, this is especially pertinent as we prepare in about a week to start Lent. Okay? You may not have noticed, but Lent is starting soon. Okay? About a week. All right? That means, okay, this is the week where we eat all the food in the house, okay? And it's okay because, hey, I'm doing a service. Like, this is the week where I eat ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because I got to finish the ice cream in the freezer, okay? So I'm doing a service for my house by eating all the ice cream. So in addition, all right, to cleaning out your fridges and your pantries, this is a week where maybe we start to think about, what is it that I'm going to offer the Lord? When I was younger, I went to Catholic school. And anyone who here has gone to Catholic school, okay, Catholics don't do Lent the way we do. All right, we do the stop everything, okay? What Catholics do is they say give up something, all right? Not give up, like they don't fast from meat and all that stuff, but they just give up something. Some people say, okay, I give up candy, you know, I give up, you know, video games, you know, whatever. Give up something. And I remember especially when I was growing up, okay, in the Catholic school and all my friends were just giving up something, and I'm giving up cheese and hamburgers and pizza and all that. Okay, so what I'm saying is this, all right? We can learn a little bit from that. Maybe we take a little bit of that. Take a little bit of that on top of what we do, not instead of what we do, like on top of what we do, okay, on top of the cheese and the pizza and all that stuff. We can take something and say, you know what? What am I going to offer to the Lord during Lent? What am I going to offer him? I can't solve all my sins. I can't solve all my bad habits. I can't solve all my problems. But you know what? I can offer something. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give him my best shot. I can't do everything. I can't fix everything. I can't solve everything. But you know what? I looked in my pocket. Man, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm going to give it to the Lord. I got this little bit that I can offer him in terms of fasting, in terms of prayer, in terms of my giving, in terms of my helping others. I can't do everything. Like I said, I can't solve all the homeless people in the world. But you know what? I can help this guy in front of me. I can't preach to all the nations. But there's this guy. I can come and give him an encouraging word. What will you offer to the Lord? I'm telling you, you here stand here today on the brink of Lent coming up in a week. You figure out what it is you want to offer the Lord. And you figure out what is the 5 loaves and 2 fish that he's given you. And you put it in his hands and you don't worry about what you lack. You just be worried about what it is that you have and how you put that into God's hands. I'm telling you, the reason why I love this story so much, I feel like this is the story of my life. Okay, this is the story of my life, and this is the story of all of our lives. Is that really? Like, I'll tell you a secret. There's nothing really good about any of us. There's really nothing that good about us. Like, I like to pretend there's good stuff, and I like to pretend I know a lot. Like, there's really not much in here that's really good. But there's a few 5 loaves and 2 fish every here now and then. So what you do? You take those 5 loaves and 2 fish, you put in God's, and God says, wow, and look what God did with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So now you come in the next day, you say, God, there's this big thing in front of me, and I don't know what to do. Just give me the 5 loaves and 2 fish. All right, I give it. Okay. It worked. We passed it. And the next day, a bigger challenge. Hey, things go that way. This is a story of life. Don't wait until you have the 200 denarii worth. Don't be doing 1 plus 1. Don't be doing 0 plus infinity. Learn God's math. 5 plus 2 equals 5,000. It'll transform your life. Glory be to God forever. Amen.